It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, Mel, I don't know if I'm ready. You asked me if I'm ready. Am I ready? I have no idea.
I don't even know what that means.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I'm trying to balance.
I'm glad you know your name.
Yes. That's the one thing I do know.
So that's a good start.
Good morning, everyone. That is the one thing that I do know, that I am Philip Sassano, and at least for the time being, I am The Design Coach.
Woo, I like it.
Anyway.
Nice job.
How are you, Mel?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. I'm just asking, are you gearing up for trick or treat?
What?
What do you mean?
You know I have been, I was born ready.
It was kind of a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay.
Because of course you are.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're the queen of this.
Not really,
but
thank you for that.
Case Q, maybe?
Thank you.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what you have planned, because we've talked about Skelly.
Skelly, I'm thinking about getting...
Now, for those of you who aren't regular listeners to the show, and you want to understand who Skelly is the 12 feet?
12-foot, correct.
Okay, the 12-foot skeleton
mm-hmm.
that you purchased.
Yes.
That is the, the main attraction, okay,
mm-hmm.
at your home.
Yeah.
This
for sure.
Halloween season.
With LED lights that move. Blue lights that move.
Were the lights in addition?
The eyes.
Oh,
I don't think
eyes.
It's the
what
eyes.
What do you mean they move? They like track people as they walk by?
I don't really think they, no,
okay.
But they're designed to move. They blink, they move from side to side, and they're freaky.
This is the time of year that I like I kind of secretly want to live in the Haunted Mansion.
I know,
at
right?
Disney.
Yes. Oh, that's the best ride.
I kind of get into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we already live on kind of like a really not well lit road.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, we don't get a lot of trick or treaters.
Hold on a second. Do you want to give us your address? Because I would love to come down your road.
No, because then I
like, I don't even know where, I don't even know.
No, I, you know what? It's not necessarily conducive to trick or treaters.
No, but still it's like you get that whole vibe.
Our home and our property is all things amazingly fall.
That's
it's
perfect.
It's outdoors, like the grass is going dormant. Julie and I are going to start to count. Like, we're going to keep a little bit of like a log. This is how you know you have a lot of time on your hands as your kids go to school.
You're going
to
count leaves?
We're like, we should do a log. Yeah, we're going to count the leaves on the maple tree. No. No, Mel.
Instead of counting trick-or-treaters, you're going to count the leaves in your yard.
Well, that would be easy. That'd be like one.
No, I know. That's
like one hand. It's like the kid down the other few acres down. Anyway, but... We're going to start counting when we cut the lawn, like the last cut and the first cut. Like first
oh,
mow,
okay.
last mow. We're just going to kind of keep a running log.
A yearly. Yeah, that's good.
We don't really know yet for what reason. We just both our eyes lit up and thought that would be a good idea. That I'm going to file that under, you know, you're getting older when?
Yes, I was just going to say
you get excited about cataloging things.
I would never say that about your wife, but I feel like I can get away with that with you. Like, that means that you're getting older.
We are, together, which is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So other than Skelly,
mm-hmm.
which is your main attraction,
mm-hmm.
is there now a supporting cast? I guess
there is. I have on the other two porches. I have two other skeletons. That one sits on the porch. That's waving to people, and the other one is sitting in a basket on the other porch. That's also waving at people with a crow. Okay. I have pumpkins. There's also a miniature skeleton in the window.
Okay.
Yeah, my theme this year is skeletons, obviously. But what I want to get now,
okay,
and time is running out.
Wait, oh, yeah, kind of.
Because I need to order
it's approaching.
I need to get two stage flamethrowers that light that throw
whoa,
the flame
whoa, whoa.
In
whoa.
Front of Skelly.
You don't mean like air-powered fabric that looks like a flame.
No, I'm not.
You mean like a legit Kiss concert.
Yes.
Flame.
Yes.
And Larry's on board with this? How is 6-foot pyrotechnics open flame?
Do I need a permit for
this? When is
that
ever really?
I mean, I don't know.
When is that ever? I mean, other than on stage, I don't know that I recommend that for a residential application.
You don't? I'm sure that... I don't know. I'd be able to use it for something afterwards.
Are you feeling... This week was like a little bit of a return to sort of like... I'm not going to say summer returned, but man, it was a much more warm week.
Oh, I loved it.
No. What? No, Mel. It's Why are you supportive of this?
It's nice to
Like we have a choice. No, I don't. I like the weather, but it's it's messing with the wardrobe.
Of course it is.
You know the flannel had to take a back seat for another week.
Yeah, you. Yeah,
I don't know. This coming week looks warm too.
Remember last year on Halloween, we got like 6 feet of snow.
But yeah, but here's what it does. Here's what it does.
Whatever.
It gets warm, and then you're like, and then it fools you, mm-hmm. and then it drops off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Like it drops like 30 degrees.
So you're telling me that's what's coming?
I just, you know what? Can I get a gradual slowdown? Can I just get the gradual climate?
Yeah.
Like descent.
But this week has been so good to pick apples, which I have done nothing about.
That's
or
true.
Just to get outside.
Have you made your way over to Royal Oak?
I have not.
Oh, you got to do
that. I don't even know what that is.
Royal Oak is in Royal Oak Orchard is in Hebron, Illinois.
Okay.
Just south of the Wisconsin state line.
Sure.
And what I love that they do is not only is it a large orchard, but they have a lot to do.
Mm.
And they're following all the protocols that everyone else is. And it's a great outdoor activity. So if you haven't been to Royal Oak, try it out
because there's to do that.
They do rides through the orchards. I mean, a lot of orchards do that, but they're actually what we like is we like their shop. They have these apple slushies, which is like a Slurpee made of apple. It's like applesauce in a Slurpee version.
That sounds delicious.
And it's kind of tart and it's really nice. It's like one of those things that's seasonally since the kids were young.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Oh, that's perfect.
You know, you go get, and you can do it like during the week. You just go like, it's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's 4:30. I'm going to go grab an apple.
That sounds good.
Apple slushy.
Apple
slushy. I think
slushy.
What they call it. But their pies and their cinnamon donuts.
Oh, I haven't had any
their
yet this
shop
year.
Is really great. So like, you know, everything from their cider to the other items that they carry in the shop. It's worth also the fact that they've got all of these other areas too around the property where kids can play outside. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, we've been talking about ways to try to continue to at least try to grab on to clarity and some sense of normalcy where you can. And while the weather, you're right, while the weather is still warm, outside is probably the best place to do it. You know, go get your pumpkins, you know, go to the apple orchards, you know,
come
join us out in wide open spaces mm-hmm. out here. And go explore. And I mean, you know that that's what I've been advocating now, you know, for quite some time, for weeks on the radio, is go out and explore. You know, go to those small towns and drive through the apple orchards and the pumpkin farms and, mm-hmm. you know, just get outside because we all know what's coming.
This was the first year that I've ever picked a pumpkin off the vine.
Off the vine.
Off the vine.
Never done that.
You have never done that?
I don't think I've ever gone into the field.
I haven't either.
And picked it.
They've always been just sitting there,
It seems slightly umbilical cord to me, but.
You're right. I thought of that.
The reason I mentioned that is because I've been watching Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian, and he was talking about his wife giving birth this week, and that was stuck in my brain. But
geez.
It does seem a little like you have to take the pumpkin away from its
point
of origin.
It's ready to.
What's that like? Is the vine tough to cut? Like, do you need
I just got some. You had clippers.
Clippers like a branch clipper?
Like
or
the
just
small,
scissors.
Like a, like oh, it's like not a, scissors, but you could use scissors, sharp
okay,
scissors.
Okay, so it's not like, you don't have to saw it off.
No, you don't have to saw it off. No, but I made a clean cut. It's all good.
We usually get our pumpkins from, I think last year we went to Von Bergen's off of 173.
Oh, okay.
Between Richmond and Hebron.
So you didn't have to pick your pumpkins out of the pumpkin patch?
No, they had some huge pumpkins too. And I think we completely OD'd on that. In fact, I remember one year we got pumpkins that were those, you know, the ones that you've always wanted to buy?
Yeah.
And Julie was gracious enough to be like, okay, fine.
I bet she wanted it too.
She's like, you 10-year-old, you know, we don't need, but we wanted one, like
yes.
Luke and I.
Yeah.
It was very much a guy thing. We're like, no, let's get the, you know, 50-pound pumpkin or whatever that
you
thing
need
is,
to,
right?
Like the biggest one you can get.
The problem is that it sat out there all winter, froze into a hard block, and it was there till March.
Oh, no.
Because it was just too darn heavy to.
That's when you, but.
Once I got it in place, I was kind of like, that was not really a great idea.
Oh, well, you need to dispose of it in the field for animals afterwards.
Well, listen, speaking of dialing back, I have a question for you, and this is what I want to talk about as we go through the next few segments. I have a couple ideas and a couple thoughts on some additional ways to sort of entertain outside this holiday season, especially as it relates to Halloween. But I'm curious about how people are going to approach and how some blogs are approaching trick-or-treating in a safe way this Halloween. I saw some very ingenious things that I want to share with everybody when we come back from the break, because I think trick-or-treating is going to look a little different in a lot of places. So stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, you know, I'm getting hungry on a Sunday morning just thinking about the stuff that I want to share with everybody today.
Really?
Well, you know.
Like what?
I don't know. Listen, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've been talking about our new digs at The Design Coach. Mm-hmm. You know, the new studio loft experience is really coming together.
It looks like.
And I got a new rug from one of our vendors this week.
Really?
Yeah, I shared it on Instagram. But, you know, it's one of the things that I want to impress upon everybody is, you know, fall and especially in advance of the winter season coming, the concept of nesting and preparing and in a way, just sort of doing a sort of a calibration and a tweak from everything from organization to decoration. I find myself doing on a really constant basis, especially now that my kids are older and at college, mm-hmm. I have a little bit more time to sort of look at an interior and think about what I want it to be and how I want it to look. And I think everybody's kind of going through that. I mean, we've seen this as an uptick in inquiries and design inquiries and people wanting more advice. But this rug that I added into this very reasonably priced rug from one of our vendors, actually, I think what I should do is probably blog about it because I think people a lot of times overpay.
I was going to say, if it's reasonably priced as a rug, you definitely need to blog about this because it seems that rugs are so expensive.
They're very expensive. And don't get me wrong. Listen, there are heirloom quality, really handcrafted, beautiful, you know, rugs and textiles that are absolutely worth the money. But sometimes your home, or, well, I should say most of the time, your home is most likely a balance of a little bit of expensive things and a little bit of reasonable, right? And then maybe a percentage of like really ridiculously cheap because you didn't really care and you just needed something.
Right.
Yeah. And your home is always a constant, well, it's always a constant discussion, especially this time of year, about how to tweak, what to upgrade and when. Mm-hmm. And I added this rug. I felt for some time that our new design office sort of needed the table. It's just a big open loft space. It's one room. Keely and I work on opposite ends of it. And it's interesting. It's got, you know, the great brickwork that you'd think of when you think of a loft space. It's got this great conference table that's at a height we love. And we did a big presentation for one of our clients this week, which was so great to do it with our new vendors and our new stuff. And, you know, if you want to know more about the new things we're bringing in, just go to our social media feeds.
Yes, we
do. Go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to Twitter. I'm always talking about the new vendors we're bringing in and what we're bringing in and inviting you to play a role and inviting you to come and hang out in our new space and get to know who we are. And it's obviously by appointment. It's not open to the public, but we're more than happy to open up a slot for you. And also let you explore, right, without any kind of sales pressure. You know, that's one of the things about furniture environments and furniture stores that I never really liked, was I just felt like people were hovering over some sale. Mm-hmm. That's kind of not what we do. We want to invite people into our Willy Wonka kind of environment that we've created there and just let you explore. Anyway, I'm a little off track, but the one thing that I wanted to mention was is this rug that I put in there, which was so reasonably priced, it was less than $500. Was huge. It was like 9.5 by 11.
Wow.
And it just anchored my studio space for this conference table, and it just looked fantastic. And, you know, thanks to one of our vendors, Tammy Gleason, for turning us onto that new line. It was just so great to be able to offer things at all different ends of the spectrum and then really do what we like to do at The Design Coach, which is really coach people through really good decisions at all price levels, because you don't have to spend a lot of money to get a great look, but you have to spend some money to get quality, if that makes sense.
It does. Absolutely.
Anyway, the reason I'm excited about this and as we sort of head into this is I wanted to share with everybody, you know, we're going to talk throughout the course of today's show about this alternative trick-or-treating and how it might look a little different with COVID. Mm-hmm. But that goes hand in hand with the fact that we're sort of thinking about turning our attention inward, especially this time of year. And you can't get any more inward than what we covered the other day, which was cocktails. But I'm a comfort food junkie. Like, I wish I could eat it at other times during the year. Is that?
You don't.
Are you like that?
You don't.
We're not supposed to? I probably don't. Not to the extent of some of the stuff that I'm going to share.
Yeah. Some of the things, the food is specifically geared to make you feel so good during the winter months when it's cold outside and you just grab that pot of chili.
Okay,
exactly.
Like I relish chili when Julie begins to make her chili.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she's been pairing that with like homemade bread lately, which has been fantastic. And the reason I mentioned it on the air, because I know that she's listening, the reason I mentioned it on the air is because I would really like some.
That was a huge hint, obviously.
Can we cue that up? Like, is that possible?
Is it possible? Have you ever had cinnamon rolls with chili?
What? That sounds like one of those weird crossovers that like sounds kind of gross, but like when you try it, it's absolutely amazing.
Yes. Apparently it is.
Okay,
apparently
it's a thing. So since we're on the topic of fall comfort food, which is, I've got this great article from Southern Living that, by the way, this is a go-to. This is a go-to map. Just like the Delish.com, the 44 fall drink recipes from Delish, this is a really good list of comfort food that I was like, okay, this is going to, these are all staples.
Mm-hmm.
So what is like your go-to? Tell me a little bit more about
this. Oh my goodness. Okay,
but tell me about the cinnamon roll chili. I don't want to move on from that. I want to explore this a little.
They're actually Larry's cousin. Anytime she has chili, she posts on Facebook because she does the chili cinnamon roll. And I've never really asked her, but apparently it is a thing. There's an article that came out last week that said
chili cinnamon roll?
Yeah, it said Iowa is one of the states that's known for having cinnamon rolls with chili. And I'm thinking like, I'm from Iowa. I've never done that. We've done cornbread and chili, but never cinnamon rolls. And Stacy does it every time.
Wow.
So I need to reach out to her and ask her, why? Is it because of the frosting? Is it because some
time out. So I have a clarification I'd like to make with the audience right now. This is
please
with you.
Do.
When you said cinnamon rolls and chili,
yeah,
you didn't mean hollow out the cinnamon roll like a sourdough bowl bread.
No.
And then pour the chili over or into the cinnamon roll.
No.
You didn't mean that.
Not to my knowledge. I don't think that they're doing
that. That's
this.
Exactly what I thought.
Really?
When you said chili cinnamon roll, I thought, okay, so that's why I was looking it up. No, you're talking about serving cinnamon rolls with chili.
Yes.
Which is, I just Googled this and I found this article from Taste of Home. What's the deal with chili and cinnamon rolls?
Yeah, what is the deal with that? And
well,
I want to know.
This strange and controversial combination is apparently a Midwest classic. And here's what it says. You've heard of ranch with pizza, right? So putting ranch sauce with your pizza.
No.
And bagels with lox.
We'll take a
ranch with pizza later.
Ranch. Okay?
But what about chili with cinnamon rolls? The combination may seem strange to Americans outside a very limited geographical zone, but in Iowa and Nebraska, it's a local delicacy. And it goes on to say, as a Wisconsin native, I have never heard of chili and cinnamon rolls until moving to Iowa for college. So is this an Iowa thing?
Not in my part of the world, in Iowa, where I grew up. Stacy is from Decorah, Iowa.
Okay.
And she does. So I don't know. I was just wondering if you had ever had this combo.
I've never had it. And it goes on to talk about why the combo is so good. It says here, what makes the combo so good? And it goes on to talk about her boyfriend, who's an Iowan, who's from the Iowa-Nebraska border, and makes the dish as a comfort food whenever he's missing home.
That's interesting. I need to reach out to her.
And here's the quote. Here's the quote, and here's why apparently he loves it so much. The sweet spiciness of the cinnamon roll complements the savory flavor of the chili, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's a match made in heaven.
I'm going to have to try this.
I get this. But I love these pairings that you wouldn't necessarily think of this pairing in July.
No.
I'm just saying, it almost seems like there's license.
Yeah.
There's license.
Yes.
And so similar to that is my list as we head into the break here. My list of these ultimate comfort foods that I wanted to run by everyone, and then some local stuff that I think we need to talk about as well. So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Happy Sunday morning, everybody. We're talking a little fall comfort food. And then I want to talk about this. Don't let me forget. I've got to get to the alternative trick-or-treating ideas.
Yeah, sure. I know. I need
to. I want to hear how you're going to do it.
Okay.
And I don't know if it'll be any different, but I'm interested to share some of these with you. But this comfort food thing is really top of mind. And I'm referencing this morning this sort of Southern living, these 60 fall recipes that I just love. And in the previous segment, we finished with this great combination I had never heard of, which now I want to try. That cinnamon.
The cinnamon roll.
With chili.
Along with chili.
Yeah.
And not together, but not dunking. Okay. Or maybe they dunk.
Well, here's a follow-up to that from a local place that does something very similar. If you've ever been to Crandall's on Route 47, just over the state line in Illinois, and you've had their chicken.
They're known for chicken.
Right, or anything from their establishment. They have this great chicken pot pie that they've got, that they have.
Mm.
Julie swears by the Costco chicken pot pie.
That's good, too.
Which I have had.
That's good.
And the chunks of chicken are ridiculously big. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a local purveyor that will give you equally as good pot pie, but the chicken pot pie is like a staple. The reason I mention this is because Crandall's pairs a lot of their offerings with sides of cinnamon bread, like cinnamon bread cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
And they're lightly frosted. They're not like the heavy frosted that you would get for breakfast, but you kind of break them off, and my kids just devour them.
Mm.
It's almost not like a cinnamon roll. I think they do call it a cinnamon roll. It's almost like a sweet bread.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So if you can envision yourself with like little sweet bread rolls and
chili. I do
chili,
envision myself with that, yes. I'm thinking about it right now. It's almost food porn.
Yeah.
It's almost food porn. I can't even deal right now.
But like, for instance, when Julie will make the, you know, some people will make like the crescent rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll serve the crescent rolls.
Yes.
And Julie will wrap in a pot pie, she'll wrap like a chicken, like it's almost like a crock pot chicken.
What time is lunch?
She's so great at this.
Oh my gosh.
But now I'm thinking you can use the things like sweet bread, and you can pair it with cinnamon rolls, or you can pair it with crescent rolls, and you can stuff it with all sorts of great things. Like if we can make a chicken wrap, and she calls them chicken presents, at least that's the way the kids refer to them. And they're just this like
brilliant,
you know, cream, kind of a creamy chicken, shredded chicken,
yeah,
wrapped in a baked,
right,
you know, pastry.
It's like the inside of a chicken pot pie in the puff pastry.
That's
like
exactly
a puff
right. That's exactly right. But you could fill it with whatever. You probably could fill it with beef and it would be just as good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And you
like
can do
a pulled
it with,
beef or even a pulled pork might even be kind of interesting.
You can do little apple pies.
I don't
pies.
Know. We could be opening up a whole
when is
new...
our restaurant opening?
No, I don't know. Whole new. That's a whole new set of crazy right now.
I'm ready for opening up a restaurant during the COVID craziness. Why not?
Anyway, back on comfort food. Southern living, these 66 recipes. Some of these were not as obvious, okay? The first one that I wanted to start with was this sweet pepper pasta with sausage. First of all, it looks beautiful. So if you cut up all of these small little peppers, you start mixing any sort of small shell pasta, right, with any kind of like sausage and peppers, you got me.
I know.
Like, I think maybe the ultimate comfort food is Italian food. And if you think of comfort food year round, that's probably the one comfort food, at least I know that for me, I eat year round.
True.
That makes it, and by comfort, maybe it's just that feeling of home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have one dish, Mel, that like makes you think of like home?
I have several.
When you were growing up.
Fried chicken. My mom just made the best.
So she
fried
made it.
Yes.
She made the fried chicken.
Chicken and biscuits.
Did she deep fry it?
No, she did not.
Okay.
No, it was baked.
It was baked.
It was baked.
Yeah.
But my grandma used to make her own homemade noodles and do chicken and biscuits, made homemade biscuits.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
It was so good.
And do you make those?
I would love to learn how to do homemade noodles.
Yeah.
I do make them, but they're not homemade noodles, but I would love to learn.
Okay,
that
so
craft.
If you've never made homemade noodles or homemade pasta, have you done that before?
No, I've not.
Okay, so you know that we do obviously our ravioli pasta every year. Do it.
Yeah,
try
I want to learn. So
try it. Try it in a small, I mean, it's really easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between the flour, the butter, and the egg, and the water. you're pretty much there already.
Yeah.
But work yourself up a nice recipe. Try that.
Because
it's fun
to
experiment with the thickness of the noodle.
Yeah.
It's fun to experiment with flavoring the different sauces that you can put in it. Like we were thinking for this holiday season, it might be a little smaller for the ravioli making.
I'm available.
Yeah. Do you want to be a stand-in?
I do.
You want to be a stand-in?
Yeah.
I might be able to make that happen. I might be able to. Every now and again, we get a special guest.
At the Sassano Family Ravioli. Yes.
Gathering.
I have an apron.
Wow. You bring your own apron.
I can act Italian. I'll bring red wine.
Hey, forget about it. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
No, but we're going to experiment with maybe some different gravies this year. Kind of play around a little bit.
Yeah, I can call it gravy.
Get a little alchemy going.
Yes.
You know, little dipping sauces for the ravs. Yep. I don't know. We're just, I think this is one of the things that I, you know, when we talk about the concept of home on this show, it's very easy because primarily we're a show that talks a lot of interior design and we're a business that's completely and totally focused on that activity and maximizing that with and for people. I think it's easy to miss the activities that are so nurturing that have nothing to do with decoration. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we want to encourage people on this show to just simply create things together, even if they don't always turn out the way that you had hoped. Or if you want to alter it a little bit, you got to remember, you know, there's that saying that like baking is a science, but cooking is an art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baking, you mismeasure, you can mess it up.
Yeah, you sure can.
Right? I mean, if it's not the right proportions of the exact ingredients, it can get a little more difficult to I would say, you know, morph those recipes. Whereas cooking is more, you're doing it by taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Consistency. There's, you know, the flavor component obviously is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone tastes things a little different. So some people like a little bit more flavoring. But that's why I think the art of cooking and the activity of cooking, especially together as a family, is so important this time of year. So this might be a really fun website to go to maybe pick off a couple recipes, to maybe try with a spouse, maybe try with your family. And maybe dedicate a little bit of time, even if they're not into cooking it. Sometimes we find, especially when we do our holiday for the ravioli, the prep is sometimes so much fun. You're just cutting things up. You're just cutting the ingredients to get ready for it to cook. It's like when we make the meatballs. I cook the meatballs. My family doesn't cook the meatballs, but you know what they do? They mash in all the ingredients, right? And they get physical with the meatballs. And the kids learn how to handcraft the meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it quality control and what passes and what doesn't. Like, that activity is a blast. And it lasts for hours. And so if you want to eat up a chunk of time to have a really enriching experience, it doesn't have to be a do-it-yourself project that you're engaging in.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be cooking something and making something together. And so I wanted to share a few of these. So this sweet pepper pasta with sausage looked really good, and it only takes about 30 minutes. I mean, listen, frying up the sausage is easy. You cut it up, put it in a frying pan, a little bit of olive oil, right? Brown it out, or you can bake it, right?
Yep.
Or you can just saute it whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that couldn't be easier to make.
I know, and
I'm sure Lake Geneva Country Meats could hook you up with a whole bunch of sausage.
Yes.
Okay?
What's the sauce? Is there a sauce, gravy, or?
There is a little bit.
What holds it together?
Here's basically what it says. This particular one, what I liked about it was a pound of uncooked pasta. Okay? Name your pasta. It could be bow tie. It could be whatever you want. A pound of Italian sausage. Casings removed. So they kind of wanted it crumbled.
Yeah.
Right? 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, baby bell peppers, some red wine vinegar, kosher salt,
okay.
Right? Minced garlic, some oregano, and some Romano cheese, which I'm a huge fan of. Romano cheese. If you've never had Pecorino Romano, it's a little bit more pungent than your normal cheese, but it really complements our red sauce beautifully. But this isn't a heavy gravy. There's no heavy gravy.
No, I just noticed that.
It's almost like the red wine sauce is the flavoring.
Yeah.
Which makes it a very easy dish to make.
Sounds delicious.
I don't know. It sounds so easy. When you come home at night and you want to make something, are you guys big grillers late in this year?
Larry, always. Oh, he grills year round.
Oh, does he?
Yep. Yes.
So he's a year-round guy.
Year-round guy. I myself, this time of year, I like to do homemade lasagna. I mean, granted, like I get off work a little bit earlier than any, you know, like normal, like one or two. So I have time to do that. But roast in the slow cooker or, you know,
see,
and
the
potatoes,
slow cooker is a big one with people this time.
It's huge.
Of year.
Yeah. Well, and it's so convenient because you have a lot of kids and activities.
Yeah.
It's so convenient.
Well, listen, when we come back for the break, we're going to cover a few more of these recipes, and then we're going to move on to this. I want to talk about how maybe trick-or-treating might look a little different this year and some creative ideas that I've seen that might just, well, they might actually put a little bit more fun into what might be a little bit of a different Halloween season. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
You know what? I'm only going to get to like two recipes.
You are?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we already had one.
I'm sorry. Oh, this is where you wish the show was like a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, happy Sunday, everybody. Good morning. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano.
This is where I wish you would have brought samples in.
Okay, you know, you say that.
I do.
But I never know which ones.
And I never know what you're going to talk about ahead of time. So otherwise, I'd be able to help you out with that.
Okay, so maybe we should do that, though. I think maybe you're right. I think maybe it. Yeah, but here's the thing. They would do is hear us eating.
Oh, just a little
talking,
samples.
Like, that's what they would hear.
No, you can do it
eloquently.
And I'm
trying to get... Okay.
Just take a couple bites and then
all
talk
right.
about it.
So while we're
perfect.
Yes. So while we're opining over the things that we don't have in studio to work with, and we always want more props.
Mm-hmm.
Right? By the way, if somebody would like to send us their version of a chicken pot pie to the studio, to the station.
Yeah.
Or to the design coach.
Yeah.
I would happily accept the package.
Sounds good.
Just make sure, you know, it meets all health code requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And we'd have to check it for a shank or something.
Who's going to do that?
I don't know. I'm just, you know.
You don't have any enemies.
No, just saying. You got
to
check.
You have to be careful.
If food is delivered to you from a stranger, you got to check it.
Yes, you do. You have to always be careful.
Anyway, I'm referencing Southern Living, and Southern Living came out with a list of these sort of 60 fall recipes. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, guys, is it's really, the websites are getting better, and they're getting, some of the really good ones are actually doing what are called, you know, the tutorials,
mm-hmm.
where they actually show you in a 2-minute video off to the side how to prepare the dish so that you're not worried about exactly how long it might take you or how difficult it might be. Southern Living, for every one of the 60 recipes, has a little tutorial that plays while you're looking at the ingredients.
Oh, okay.
So they give you a shopping
That's
checklist
nice.
That you can print off. And the next one that I wanted to cover that I loved was this double crust chicken pot pies.
Mm.
So you know those little crock pots
that people
have, like the handheld ones that serve things in? This goes into exactly how to layer the double crust. And one of the things that I really like about, I like two things in a chicken pot pie.
Which is what?
One, massive amounts of hunks of chicken.
Massive chicken.
And I am always disappointed when it just feels like pulled chicken.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
I like the hunks of chicken.
So large that you need to cut it?
No, but large just enough large so that enough. It feels like a chunk. Like I cut a
You're
piece of
steak. You're getting the bang for your...
Yeah, you know, I can even give you a measure. You ready?
Okay.
Like 2x2. Like two inch by two inch.
Okay.
Or you know what I mean? Or a little smaller. I don't like the cubes. I'm not a chicken cube. That always makes me suspect when it's
very
shaped.
It seems like it's processed.
Like it's processed. Like I like the natural chicken.
Like,
you know, like when you would grab a rotisserie chicken and you would just pull it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what you put in the pie.
Yeah.
That, I think, is good. And the second thing
But I thought you didn't like it. I thought you didn't like that.
What? No,
but
not shredded. Sorry, I should have said shredded.
Okay.
So not pulled where it's shredded, but I mean like literally yanked off and then thrown in there in
like
the hunks.
Leave it, yeah. Don't shred it anymore. I'm curious.
No,
like, I'm
no,
just
now
curious.
Just, no, now you're just making fun of me.
No, I'm not, because I don't like stringy chicken.
I do like the stringy chicken in Julie's chicken presents.
Oh, well, that's different. We're talking about pot pie.
Right. In pot pie, I kind of like this. It's kind of like a present.
But if it's stringy.
So you like the surprise of the big chunk of chicken.
Right? I know.
I like carrots.
Yeah.
I like corn.
Can carrots be in cubes?
No, they should be in circles. Cut circles.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And not shredded.
Not
shredded. That's ridiculous.
It hangs onto the gravy.
Salads.
And then it drips.
No, no.
No.
Chunks of things.
Yeah.
Almost like a chicken stew.
Yeah.
Inside your pot pie.
Right.
Now, here's the second thing that is a must. And that's what I love about this particular recipe is the double crust. So they give you the crust on the low side, mm-hmm. and then they give you the crust on the high side. Some chicken pot pies put all the stuff in a bowl and then just put the crust upside down like a topper.
Oh, that's weird.
See, to me,
no.
You know, you get an extra special level
you have
of appreciation and effort, at least from me, when you go double crust. And that's what this one is. And this recipe from Southern Living is as good as it gets.
Well, it's a pie.
I mean, you're talking about all the ingredients we love. Sorry, I also like peas. I do like peas in there. Some people are not. Do you like peas?
I love peas.
Some people don't like them.
That's
like
too bad for
But it's got
people.
Everything from the chicken stock to the heavy cream to the peas to the red peppers, which is they put in theirs. Great seasonings, but look it up. So I want you to, listen, if you're looking for some great recipes to try this fall, just go to southernliving.com and they've got these 60 recipes with the tutorials. You will not be disappointed. Create together. And I think you'll be amazed at the experiences that come out of something like that. So anyway, let's get back into our topic that I thought was going to be the main topic, but it's now it's the subtopic.
Now that I'm hungry.
Trick or treating. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you going to individually bag your Halloween candy? And do you anticipate trick-or-treaters?
I do anticipate trick-or-treaters. Yes, I do.
And are you only going to rely on the wrapper of the candy and just hand it out as normal?
Are
you going to individually bag a grouping of candy?
I've thought about that.
Because that is one of the recommendations that they're making.
I've thought about that.
Individually group the baggies of candy.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can hand out a baggie of candy,
mm-hmm.
and that you can also, you can use gloves then,
mm-hmm.
right? To keep it relatively, you know, as sanitary as possible,
yes.
along with masking.
Yes.
And then that would allow maybe kids to come up to the door.
Right.
You're comfortable with that?
I'm very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Halloween, you have masks on. Kids already are covered from head to toe with costumes. And a coat and the mask
sweat.
And sweat. I mean, come on.
Right.
Don't cancel Halloween.
Don't cancel Halloween.
No.
I don't think every municipality is going to agree with you, right?
I know that.
I don't know that that's the case. And everybody's going
to
have to make a determination for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, though, if decorations will be down because people don't necessarily think that people will be trick-or-treating. I have to believe that the decorating... You're decorating with less enthusiasm unless you're trick-or-treating.
I
know you're not.
No, I disagree. I feel like that Halloween decorations in my neighborhood...
Are up.
Are up.
Oh, that is so good to hear.
Are up. And some things have been sold out.
Oh, wow.
For Skelly, I know, is sold out across...
Well, they only made like 10.
True. But
it is a 12-foot skeleton.
It's not like there's a big rash on
the market for those.
But other things are sold out as well, I've noticed. And
so the Halloween decorations are sold out.
Halloween decorations are up.
Well, listen, I hope that people still find it within themselves to celebrate.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about, you know, decoration with regard to any holidays is the outward expression of creativity, mm-hmm. that people apply to their homes. You're like a master at it, right? Like, I would consider you expert level home decorating for the holidays.
Oh my gosh.
I would.
Do we all just hear that? That is amazing to hear from the design
coach. I mean, we have our own resident expert in that. So that's why I'm curious about this topic, because I'm seeing everything from the one thing that I saw on YouTube that I thought was interesting was, have you seen the PVC pipe that is shaped like a J and you put the candy in the tube and it slides down and it shoots out?
Yes.
And the children never need to come, mm-hmm. onto the porch.
I have seen
like, are
that.
You tempted to use that and to buy that? Like, would you use that?
I'm just tempted just to see how it works and just to see if, I don't know. Like, I don't want to hit any kid in the eye. But,
you're right.
Seriously.
There could be potential for injury.
There could be potential.
Or if you put your baggies in there, it could get clogged.
Yeah.
Then who would you call?
You'd have to call
like a plumber.
I don't know.
And be like, my trick-or-treating PVC is clogged.
It's clogged. Can you come out?
And then he'll be like, of course he'll inevitably find like a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And a Barbie doll head.
And then it's going to be expensive because then it's going to be just a call like on the weekend. And that's not good.
Other one that I saw that was ingenious.
Yeah.
Remote-controlled car.
I love that idea.
They sit on the porch,
mm-hmm.
and they send the cars out.
Yeah.
And then they took it. And then in the YouTube video, one of the kids took the cars and ran away.
I was just going to say, like, oh, look, Mom, they're giving away cars.
Yeah, like, no. And then the guy had to, like, chase him down.
Yeah.
But either way, I thought the remote control car was a good one.
That's
so,
cute.
So
What do you do when you have 20, though?
I don't know.
You know?
I just feel like the lines are going to be long.
Yeah. They are. You know,
like,
just
and
come
you
out,
know me, I don't like long lines. Crap. Now, listen, my kids are out of trick-or-treating age. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying it sounds like the lines will be long.
Are you going to come over to my house and trick-or-treat?
No, I'm probably...
Are you going to help hand out candy at my
house? I don't know.
You need
no,
to experience
you know what I'm
going to
do on Halloween? I'm going to make myself a really nice Halloween cocktail.
Halloween cocktail.
And just kick back with the dogs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Please do something with dry ice. Please.
I should.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? I will make special.
Please do.
And then I will video it for everyone.
I would love that.
You know, and I'll do it in the early afternoon of Halloween.
Of course you should.
So that you can get the ingredients and then you can have
yes,
them.
I like that.
So any other special protocols that you've seen?
No, those
I saw
two.
The remote control car. I saw the tube.
The PVC pipe.
I saw the wrap, you know, the prepackaging of all the candy.
Yeah. And that's really about it.
I did see that. Okay. The other one that I saw was the traditional clothesline.
Oh, you know, that's a great idea.
You shimmy a clothesline down on pins.
Yeah.
And then people grab the candy.
That's just so weird to me.
Or people pin up multiple ones on a clothesline and then kids just come up and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I know that that's losing a little bit of its tradition, but I still think we have to find workarounds and ways to enjoy the season regardless. Anyway, listen, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening on this Sunday morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.